Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, and it's the time that we celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, joyful time of the year to celebrate our risen Savior. And I want to read to you tonight from the book of John, chapter number 1, in verses 1 through 14. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He who was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I want to begin tonight by just sharing a message here for just a few moments that we have this evening about Christmas. Christmas is such a joyous time. Families and friends from all around the world will come together and celebrate with each other. Everyone seems to be at peace, forgetting about the year's struggles that maybe they had throughout their year, and enjoying the company of their loved ones. But oftentimes we forget what Christmas is really all about. We forget the real reason for the season. It's kind of like a Christmas carol that I found on the internet, and it says, "Wreck the malls this Christmas season. Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. Blow your cash for no good reason. Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. Put your charge card to the limit. Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. Your bank account has nothing in it. Fa-la-la-la-la, la 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 la." Or maybe this one, it says, "I'll be cloned for Christmas. There'll be three of me, one to work and one to shop and one just for parties. Christmas Eve, I'm certain I won't be alone. I'll be home for Christmas, or else I'll send a clone." But you know, the real reason for Christmas is songs such as this one, "O Little Town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, thy silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep the watch of wondering love. O morning star, together proclaim thy holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth." You see, the goodwill and nature of people during this time is just a small example of the love that God created us to have. If we truly understand what Christmas is really all about, then these feelings that we have at Christmas could last a lifetime. They wouldn't just last through the season, but they would be with us always throughout the course of our life. If we had proper understanding of God's plan for mankind, then we would realize the enormity of the gift that we celebrate today and through this season. We would understand that Christmas is a part of the larger story, a story that spans of all time as we know it. For many of us, Christmas provides a comfort to coming to church. And when we sing and worship the God of our salvation, we are reminded of the joyous events that took place many years ago. We hear about how a child was born in the lowest of conditions in a small country, in a village on the far side of the world, to Joseph's virgin wife, Mary. We hear the story of how the shepherds were confronted by an angel from God who announced to them the royal birth, and how the whole night sky was filled with the angels proclaiming the birth of this child. We read of the men from the east who traveled so far and following a star just to lay down gifts at the feet of this King Jesus. You know, in our world today, there are just over 8 billion people that live on the earth today. And it is estimated that there have been 117 billion people who have lived throughout the course of time. And of those 117 billion people, of all of those births, there is only one that has been given that has the power to save the world of sin and of death through God's gift of love. God considers each of His children special, but this one child was different because throughout history there has never been anyone more momentous than the event of the birth of the Messiah. This child is the most important part of God's plan. He came at just the right time, at just the right place, for just the right reason. This child's birth was pivotal in the events of history. Time, as we know it, is measured by the birth of this child. Our calendar that we use today is produced based on the birth of Jesus Christ. Despite what historians would say, this day or this season reminds us of God's love for His creation. In John chapter 3 and verse 16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God knew that mankind would turn away from Him before mankind did. He knew because He gave man the ability to think and to make decisions and to make choices. He knew that we would fail and that we would sin under our own strength. And yes, He could have created us without the freedom to think ourselves and to follow blindly. But what He did is He created us with the ability to make decisions and to make choices so that we would not be robots and not truly appreciating the greatness of our God. And so time after time, God urges us to return to Him. But each time we are led astray by our own desires, until at just the right time we realize that He's in our best interest. In Romans 7, Paul says, "I have discovered this principle in life, that when I would want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong." God sent His only begotten Son to die for our sins upon the cross. Jesus Christ came into a sin-filled world, and He came perfect, and He was tempted in every fashion that we are tempted in. And yet he lived a perfect life and was sacrificed as the spotless lamb whose blood covers and washes away our sins forever and forever and forever. This plan was not made in a spur of a moment. It has always been God's plan. We know this because we can read the prophecies concerning our Savior in Luke chapter 1 in verses 26. And in verse 27 it says, "Now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." And in verse 27, "to a virgin brother to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." And then approximately 700 years before Gabriel was sent, Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah chapter number 7. And in verse 14 it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. And behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means he is God with us. And Gabriel said in Luke chapter 1 in verses 30 through verse 33, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end.'" And then Joseph was engaged to Mary. And after being spoken to by an angel, he took Mary to be his wife. And after some months had passed, Caesar Augustus decreed that a census should be taken over all the Roman Empire to register each citizen. And this required that they return to their ancestral towns, which is dependent upon whose bloodline they were born from. And Joseph, being a descendant of David, went with Mary, now heavily pregnant, to the town of Bethlehem, where Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ. About 700 years prior to Jesus' birth, the prophet Micah, a contemporary of Isaiah, wrote this in Micah chapter 5 and in verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah," which means fruitful, "though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old," or from everlasting to everlasting. I want to consider two groups of people who came to see Jesus as an infant. First of all, we look at the shepherds. The shepherds were hardworking. They weren't well educated. They weren't well paid. They weren't the elite of Israel. They weren't the elite of the society of that day. They weren't those who should have known the scriptures well. They were just simple folk. And then one day on the hillsides of Bethlehem, an angel appeared. And in Luke chapter 2, and in verses 9 through 14, it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" The shepherds didn't say, "Oh, we can't go. We can't leave our sheep. We have to work. What if the wolves come and attack our sheep while we're gone? No, they left their flocks and hastened to find this child, Jesus. Then we look at the wise men. The wise men were the elite of the ruling class from a country far to the east, and they were used to searching the night sky to note the changes that they saw. They were searching for signs from God, and one day they saw a special star arise, and they knew it was going to be a sign of something that was extraordinary, and they knew that it was a sign of the long-promised king. They knew that in Numbers chapter number 24 and verse 17, it says this: I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. In their reaction, they followed the signs of Christ, of the Christ child. They left their comfortable homes and they traveled by camel and they followed the star until they came to the place where this little child laid. It is assumed that by the time they reached Bethlehem, that Jesus might have been a year old by this time. And in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented their gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did these men travel so far and search so diligently for Jesus? They did it because they knew that there was something special about Jesus. And I want to close tonight with this thought, and I want to ask you, so what about you? What about your relationship with this Christ child? What about your relationship with Jesus? Are you going to be like the wise men and the shepherds? Are you going to search high and low for him? I say to you tonight, he is here. You just need to bow at his feet and acknowledge that you need him right now in your life. Jesus Christ is the greatest Christmas present that has ever been given. You'll receive Christmas presents this year and they'll make you happy for a little while. But next year you won't even remember that you received them. But Jesus is a gift that just keeps on giving. Jesus Christ is the greatest Christmas present that you can ever receive. Jesus Christ's birth was just one step in God's almighty plan. Hasten to him tonight. He is calling you today. Don't let this opportunity pass, but bow and accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. Can we stand in this building tonight? Dear Lord, we just love you and thank you and appreciate you. We thank you, God, that you came into this world in the form of a child. And you took on a human body. You became just like one of us, yet you were perfect. You overcame sin. You overcame the power of death. You overcame the grave. You overcame hell. And Lord, it's because of that gift that has been given to us today that we have the same power living on the inside of us, that we can overcome darkness that is around us, that we can receive your light tonight, and because of your light that lives on the inside of us, we are free from the darkness that tries to take over our lives. And we thank you for that tonight. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.